Welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. On this podcast, you'll hear stories to encourage, inspire, and empower you to be the best healthcare advocate that you can be for yourself or for a loved one. The information provided in this podcast is not to be used for any medical advice. This is for information only and to support you in your journey. Please consult with your physician and medical team. In fact, share your favorite episode with your team and ask questions from that.
In this episode of the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast, we talk with Dr. Nick Swiskey, who is a physical therapist and owner of Concierge Physical Solutions here in Denver, Colorado. And he is a mobile concierge physical therapist who works with executives and busy professionals, getting them the physical therapy services where and when they need it. He talks with us today about how to get better than average results, no matter what area of healthcare you are struggling with. So sit back and listen to Dr. Nick. Well, welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. And I am here today with Dr. Nick Swiskey from Concierge Physical Solutions. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Yeah. I'm so excited to talk with you and hear about what you're doing right now with your practice. So why don't you get started by telling a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so as you said, my name is Nick Swiskey. I am a physical therapist. I've been out of school, graduated for about 2.5 years now, and I recently decided to open my own practice, like you said, Concierge Physical Solutions. And I just wanted to get into my own thing. It was kind of a long time in the making. I definitely wanted to do it while I was in school, but it's really exciting now.
Perfect. And hobbies, interests outside of your work?
Yeah, I am into snowboarding. That's probably my favorite sport of the year. But I also really like soccer, into photography. I owned my own little this when I was back in school, but now it's just a hobby again.
Perfect. And so what experience did you want to talk about relating to healthcare advocacy?
Yeah, so something that I've been noticing, especially as I've kind of transitioned into my own practice and I've been kind of doing and working with my clients the way that I've wanted to, is I've noticed that it's kind of a tough thing to say, and I hope it doesn't kind of come off the wrong way, but it's just that I've noticed that a lot of people, not necessarily the patients themselves, but the system that they're in, whether it's kind of the network of primary care physicians or just the way that their overall wellness is being structured, is it's kind of on this like system of being average. And kind of an example that I have for that is there's a few patients that I have that are doing really, really well with their recent surgeries, and kind of the track that they've been placed on is really average, kind of for like someone that would be on more near end stage of life. And I think that it's frustrating for both the patients and for me that kind of this whole structure is not being used for maximization. And it's like, well, we want to do water aquatics, we want to get in there, we want to start doing some higher level strengthening and wellness type training like that, but there's just this mindset that everyone's healing kind of at the same pace, everyone needs to be doing it at the same pace, kind of this cookie cutter thing, and it doesn't apply to everyone. Some people are just kind of exceptional in some ways, and they just recover faster, they heal faster. And I think that we need to kind of keep those things in mind as we're treating each patient, because if we don't, it's taking away kind of that individual aspect. You know, we're not focusing on what that patient's needs are really at the end. And it's just something that I've been thinking about recently.
I would agree with you. I think a couple of things there. Just kind of putting limits on what people's potentials are going to be. oh, you have X, Y, and Z disease or condition, so don't even think about returning to your favorite activity, or don't even think about, you know, achieving what you are actually wanting to for this surgery. I see that all the time. And it's frustrating. And I think also just like the outsourcing of our care, of how we kind of view what we can do as a person to, oh, the doctor said this, or the surgeon said I won't be able to do that anymore. Like maybe that's true, or maybe that's true for a finite time, but I really want people taking more responsibility for themselves and not like outsourcing their destiny to whatever the doctor said.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of took the words out of my mouth in a way is, there has to be a level of responsibility. And I was thinking about this actually last night, how I would kind of say this, and it's not even necessarily just you needing to know like, okay, at 6 weeks I should be able to do X, or, you know, so on like that. I mean, even if it just feels like, hey, I'm not really where I want to be, that's enough of a responsibility to give you the option to maybe go get a second opinion, or maybe find someone else that maybe perhaps understands your needs or has a mindset that's closer to yours. And obviously we should be the professionals, and we should, you know, be telling what's safe and what's not safe necessarily. But yeah, a level of responsibility is absolutely needed for both us as a practitioner and the patient.
Yes. And I would agree that our words matter as practitioners, like what we say to our clients. So whether you're a doctor or a therapist, you know, it really impacts them. So if we're putting limits on them, if we're saying that, oh, this is going to be really difficult for you, that's feeding into their brain too. And some people have a better awareness of self, and just awareness in general of what's going on, and can listen to intuition and can listen to like, oh, this doesn't feel right. And other people are very accepting of everything you say. And it's unfortunate because it doesn't have to be that way. But I agree with you that you don't want to also just be like, oh yeah, do whatever, because they're gonna go out and find somebody who maybe isn't evidence-based, or who isn't necessarily following truly something that's safe. So we as healthcare providers, professionals should absolutely be like really leading people down this path, support and stretch, support them where they need to be supported, but stretch them to their capacity. And I don't see that
happening. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. And there's a lot of, I mean, just today is the best time in the history of mankind to be alive. I mean, there's the most access to the most things that we've ever had. And yeah, you're absolutely right. There's no reason to not take it to the next level, unless of course just someone wants to, you know, I just want to walk again. You know, with a situation like that, there are some people like that, and you have to respect their desires. But yeah, on the general side of things.
Well, I mean, when I used to work acute care, I'd walk into the patient's room and the 85-year-old husband said to me, oh, are you going to teach my wife how to dance? Yeah. Well, did she know how to dance before? So, I mean, if that
right.
was So, you know, we got to meet our patients where they're at and what their personal goals are, which is the awesome thing about concierge physical therapy and mobile therapy, to be able to really focus on what the patient wants, not what you as a practitioner thinks they should have, and or what the insurance company is going to mandate, oh, you've got 6 visits only to get this covered, you know, addressed. Like that, I don't know, it's frustrating. So mobile concierge therapy is really if you don't know about it, something to look into and check out, you know, Nick's business, because Concierge Physical Solutions in Denver. Are you doing stuff online too? Are you doing telehealth for outlying areas or?
I am currently licensed in the state of Florida, but I have not kind of taken that plunge into doing telehealth yet. It's something I've been thinking about moving forward, but I've just kind of focused on the mobile concierge part of it now.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's something, you know,
people in Florida could also benefit from Dr. Nick's expertise. So, yeah, I mean, I think that this is true. This is like this whole being able to be an advocate for yourself in the healthcare system, being able to kind of identify what you as a patient are wanting from this intervention, whether it's a surgery, medication, if you're trying to manage a chronic disease, like is what is happening right now working for you, or are you feeling like it's not? And if it's not right, then your recommendation is to, what would your recommendation be to the people listening?
Yeah. My recommendation would be to use the information that's out there. And I know it's kind of easy to say that and hard to do, but what I mean is don't become like a Google MD, but learn about your body and learn about, you know, let's say, for example, you have a knee replacement. That's an easy example. A lot of people have it. Learn about the muscles that are around the area. You know, attend classes prior to your surgery so you can understand at least a little bit about what's going on. And then once it's done, I mean, everyone has a, let's say for that example, a standard recovery zone of a few weeks where you're going to be kind of down and out a little bit. But after that, you know, make sure that you have a primary care physician that you can trust. Your surgeon is going to be handling your surgical care, but make sure you have someone that you can trust, that you can go to about the progress, whether it's a primary care physician, whether it's me, like a concierge physical therapist. That's the good part about what I do, is I can spend a lot of time with each person, individual, an hour and a half if needed, to really kind of map out where we're going, where we are, and to maximize each one of those stages. And I think that that is something that everyone needs. And it doesn't have to be a concierge physical therapist. I mean, it can be your friend. If that's someone that trusts, that motivates you and can help you kind of find that path and not get stuck in a rut, that's really all you need. But the thing that I've noticed the most common, especially with joint replacements, I don't know why I keep going to joint replacements as an example, but I think it's an easy, tangible one. But with joint replacements, the most common, let's say, difficulty I noticed for someone is that they literally simply don't know what to expect. And so that's why I say, you know, education, there's a ton of good resources out there. And if you have a practitioner that you trust, even if it's not your surgeon, you know, surgeons in many ways are supposed to be good at one thing, and that's fixing it. But, you know, we all need someone that we can trust outside of that. Talk to them before the surgery. I would love to have people that would just strictly come to me and ask me questions about their joint surgery prior to their surgery, because it makes a huge difference when you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I hear you saying, like, take it like a curiosity about what's happening.
Exactly. Yeah,
for sure. And yeah, we can't control everything, but there's definitely, the more we know, the less scary something's going to be, and the more we can prepare for some things that might be out of the ordinary, or be able to understand, you know, what is typical, and maybe if your path is not, to be able to get some assistance from whatever provider is working with you. So I think that's really important, because if you don't know how it's supposed to go, you're not going to understand that there might be a problem.
Right. And I think it kind of comes down to something like this. I mean, it's like, let's say, for example, you want to redo your flooring in your home. I mean, it's like, how many hours upon hours is someone going to take to research the right material, to research the right person to do it? You know, there's so many factors and so much time that goes into making a decision like that. It should be the same way. And I mean, just like your one house that you own, and you have the one floor, you have that one right knee, that one left knee, and you should be just as knowledgeable, really, when it comes down to it, going into it and throughout the process.
That's a great analogy, a really good analogy. I might steal that one.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so, you know, what would you, well, you're kind of just, or giving this advice to somebody else who's in a situation like this, but anything else, like maybe a personal example of something that didn't quite go right for you or for a family member and the steps they took to get it better?
Yeah, I have a pretty unique example for that. My dad is kind of, I just won't curse, but my dad is a he is a bad dude. Like, he is the most disciplined, fit man that I have probably ever met. And he is a really good, I think, example for the stuff that we've been talking about and kind of not getting stuck in average, even though everyone is telling him he should be, so to speak. So he was a racquetball player in college. He's into a lot of biking, a lot of hiking, a lot of working out, scuba diving, spearfishing, like the whole nine. And he's had meniscus problems. And I'm pretty sure his meniscus is pretty much long gone at this point. But a few years ago, he had a tear playing racquetball, went to the surgeon. They're like, well, you know, you're in your 50s, you know, blood flow to the area is not so great, which is, you know, true. But it's also not really true because, like, I mean, are you saying that there's just no blood flow to the knee anymore? And it's like, well, clearly there is, because if you didn't have blood flow, well, you'd have a lot of other problems. But basically, to make a long story short, they told him that, you know, yeah, we're not going to do meniscus repair because you're too old, essentially, and there's no point. Why don't you wait a few years and get a knee replacement? And it's like, well, I don't need a knee replacement. I tore my meniscus. And so basically, to make a long story short, he, at that point, that was, I want to say, like 3-4 years ago or so, he has said no to everyone that's told him that, and he ended up finding a internal medicine doctor that deals with hormones, and he got with a therapist that and trainer that he trusts, and basically has gone through like a course of hormone usage, testosterone, things like that. He's taking a lot of different supplements. He's completely altered his diet. He's been like completely keto based and intermittent fasting for like I said, like 3-5 years now. And I mean, he is the strictest person I've ever met when it comes to all this stuff. And his results are fantastic. I mean, over these past like 3-5 years, he is playing racquetball again. He's running pain free. This guy like squats like 225. I mean, it's pretty impressive. He tells me flat out now, with all of the stuff that he's been doing and kind of the motivation that he's found from being told he can't, he feels he's more fit and more healthy, and he feels better than he did in his 30s, and he's nearing, you know, 60 now.
Right.
So this just kind of comes back. I know that was a bit of a tangent, but this kind of comes back to, well, you know, what we were saying earlier. It's just know yourself, learn about what you have going on, and maximize the situation. If someone tells you no, it's not always correct. It's just that we operate in average, not an exceptional.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I also think, you know, we as providers, again, whether we're a doctor or a surgeon, therapist, we have certain tools in our toolbox, and we don't know everything. I don't know everything. And, you know, I'm going to give the advice of based off of the knowledge that I know at this time. And so it sounds like the doctors that he had gone to, nutrition wasn't part of their knowledge base. you know, maybe hormone supplements weren't something that was part of their knowledge base. So all they had were the surgeries, and it very well may be true that the surgery wouldn't have helped him. But that's not to say that something else can't. So there's more than one way to get to the answer. And please, if you feel like the person who you are working with is not meeting your expectations, there's somebody else out there who has a different tool. It's not you as a patient that is, if you're following the instructions and you're moving along and you're trying and you're curious about what's going on, it's not you as the patient that's failing. You just haven't found that right tool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that was a great story. That wasn't a tangent. I want to meet your dad.
Yes.
He should have like a testimonial on your website.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
All right. I mean, we kind of talked about this, but what do we need to change about today's healthcare system? Obviously the average, but you know, if you talk to I understand what you're saying, because if you like told a doctor, I think you're just being average.
Oh man. You might as well leave the city probably after saying that.
So how do we reach these doctors or other physical therapists? Because I'll get patients who tell me, nobody's ever told me that before. And I'm what do you mean? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that's it's a tough one, but it's also kind of an easy one. Because can you change the people that I'm not going to name drop or anything like that, but the people that my dad was working with in that example prior, it's like, are you going to change them? No. Should you even attempt to change them? Probably, but is it worth the time? Probably not. Because there's always going to be people like that, that's just the way they operate. And it's just the way it is. So I think the biggest change is going to come from our ability to educate our patients on how the process should be and what they should be looking for as expectations. Because if the patient doesn't know their potential, then it doesn't matter if the people that they're seeing are taking it to the next level or not. If they think that, in our case, physical therapy is going to a gym and doing, quad sets and having someone bend your knee and watch you ride a bike for, 10 minutes. If that's what they think is normal, then that is what normal is. And I think that perhaps in many ways is our own fault, number one, but it's also a reason why I think we allow at times the continuum of care to be average, not just from the physical therapy perspective, but on the whole perspective, because if that's how a lot of people are operating and that's what patients think is normal, that's how the whole process is going to be on average. So right. I think we need to start by saying, like, look, don't go to those people, just flat out, just don't go. Go find someone else that's better. Those people are going to be fine. They're going to have plenty of money. Their businesses are going to stay open. There are an infinite amount of people that just want to get in, get out, and get on with life and not bob anywhere outside of that range. But there are plenty of people on the other side of the spectrum that want to take it to the next level. And a lot of people that I've found that don't even know they want to take it to the next level. They didn't even know it was an option. And so I think it just kind of comes from a foundational education. Direct-to-patient marketing, in our case, telling people that this is how you can be if you try. You right. don't need to listen. You don't need to swallow it, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't have to be that way. And you bring up a good point. I mean, I've worked in over 50 different facilities in Denver, and so I've worked in outpatient clinics that are run just, you're seeing 16 patients a day, you work with them for 15 minutes, then they go out to the gym. And if that's like for physical therapy, if that's how you want to run and how you want to be treated, then that's great. But then there's options like yourself, who one-on-one in your home, working on, a myriad of things, really giving that personal attention, that can give you so many, the possibilities of what you can achieve with that type of therapy is way different. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so there's people out there and that would be the same for surgeons or do your research. I think too, we do have, this is the information age. Everything is right there at our fingertips, good information and bad information.
Yeah.
But that's only the first step, is to get the information. Then you need to take it back to your clinician, and you need to have a discussion about the information. So this is where you can play Dr. Google, that's fine, but you don't have that medical degree. I don't have a medical degree.
Sure.
So, right? So we need to take that information, take the article that you read, you know, go back and have that discussion. And hopefully you're with a provider who will be able to have that discussion back with you. And if you're not, if the provider just shuts you down, find a different provider.
Yeah, pretty much. And we are lucky, I think, here in Denver. We do have a lot of great practitioners, I've noticed, compared, because I started off my career doing travel, so I kind of got around doing things in different areas. But we are lucky here. I've noticed that a lot of people, a lot of practitioners are focused on total wellness. There are a lot of awesome concierge MDs in the area too that are doing a lot of high level cool stuff. So we are very lucky in this area, but most areas are not like this area. So you're absolutely right. You know, gather that information, take it to your practitioner. And that's something that people should know too, you know, so for everyone out there listening, you know, don't feel embarrassed or don't feel intimidated bringing information to your practitioner, whether it's your physical therapist, whether it's, you know, your MD, your surgeon, whatever the case may be, you know, have those discussions, especially if it's in a concierge service where, you know, we are able to take that time for you to really sit down and talk, bring the information, let's have our discussions. You know, 15 minutes spent having an in-depth discussion is time extremely well spent, in my opinion.
Agreed. I definitely agree about that. And last question that I have for you is, so what do you do? You mentioned some of the hobbies, but how do you take care of yourself? How do you make sure that you are taking care of yourself and advocating for yourself?
Yeah. Well, I, like my dad, I do really like intermittent fasting. I've noticed above probably all other dietary choices that I've taken that has made me feel the cleanest inside my body, but also because it's given me a ton of mental clarity as well. I really, really, really like that as a total general self-care thing. I'm not suggesting anyone do that. You know, always consult your practitioners before you start fasting, but it's worked really well for me. Something I really need it as part of my self-care routine, so to speak, is I take like a half hour to an hour a day to, it's just me time. And usually it's spent kind of just sitting on my balcony, watching, you know, listening to the winds and the cars and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't matter what it is. It could be anything for anyone. But I really recommend that people take a little time for themselves. And I know that that can be very, very hard in a busy schedule, kids, work, the whole nine. But it's important. And it's way... It's to me, if I don't have it now that I've been kind of practicing it as a mindful act each day, mindfulness act each day, I feel it when I don't have it. But just to kind of self-reflect, to think about what you've done that day, to stop thinking about what you've done that day and kind of move on, it's the best tool.
No, I think that's great. And so just to clarify, you're not flipping through your phone.
No, yes, of course not. No. Yeah, put the phone away, get the computer away. You know, if you like a little bit of music, I personally don't use any music. I just sit there and whatever the sound of the world is, so to speak. But yeah, get away from everyone, you know, make it like your time. Get away from everything and everyone. Don't be sitting, you know, watching. I know the new season of The Walking Dead was just uploaded on Netflix, so trying to bob my my mindfulness time in between that and the evenings. But you have to. You gotta like shut off all the good stuff. You gotta put the phone away. You gotta get away from the family or, you know, your significant other just for a little while and take it for yourself. Even if it's staring at a blank wall, I promise you, it is healthy.
No, that's true. There is research out there absolutely showing that. So basically what's happening in any of those mindfulness practices, whether you're doing meditation or silent sitting, if you don't want to use a more Eastern word, is we are able to decrease the size of our amygdala, which is fight or flight. And then it also increases the size of our hippocampus. So our hippocampus is going to be taking in information from our environment and then storing those memories long-term. So we're going to be able to handle, kind of recall, experiences that we had in the past more easily if we have a bigger hippocampus. And if our amygdala is smaller, we're not going to be always accessing that fight or flight. So that's kind of scientifically what's happening as you do that. Also, you're also be able to probably take in some deeper breaths in that time period. So we're stimulating vagus nerve, which is in control of a lot of our autonomic systems. So all those things that you talked about, intermittent fasting, it sounds like a fancy word, but really your mom and grandma probably told you to do it anyway, right? Don't eat after 7 p.m., so it's not like, it is this very, it's a, well, I say kind of a fad term, but really we're just looking to recharge our bodies and let it go into that rest and digest mode. And if we're always eating, we can't let it rest. The other thing that it does is it allows for autophagy. So all of our cells in our body are going to live and die, but then autophagy is allowing them to be recycled back through. So that's super important. And you know that, but I'm speaking more to my audience. So
yeah, no, I get it.
So intermittent fasting. So even if you just decided, I'm not going to eat after 7 o'clock tonight, and you're going to wait in the morning until you actually feel hungry. And that's also really important. I just listened to that Joe Rogan podcast, and thank you for not swearing. how we need to actually feel hungry to eat. And then we're talking about just building our awareness of our environment and paying attention to these cues from within our body, paying attention to how we feel when we interact with other people. So all those things, we can just kind of put that phone down. I have to do it myself too, and pay a little more attention to what's going on around us. So, anything else you wanted to add, Nick?
Yeah. And it's funny because you're right. I deliberately didn't use the word meditation, but it's not because I don't have any aversion to using that word. For all the other listeners out there as well, some people like to call it meditation, some people don't. Call it whatever you want. At the end of the day, just take that time for yourself because it is important. And I cannot emphasize it more. And then if you don't mind, can I talk a little bit again about what I do? Because I was kind of nervous when you first asked me that question, and I think I kind of butchered it. Do you mind if I say that again?
Go for it. Let's hear it. And okay. What do you do?
Okay. So as she was saying, I am a concierge physical therapist in the Denver area. Currently, I do treat, I like to specialize with busy executives and professionals. So people who are working for bigger companies or their own business owners that just don't have the time to get to a clinic or to work with a personal trainer. So I'll go wherever they're at, whether it's their home or whether it's a gym that they like. And I help, empower their physical freedom, help them gain some time and get back to the things that they like to do within their busy schedules.
Sounds like an amazing job. Great to have you in the Denver area, for sure. So you guys take a look at Nick's website. I'll post the notes in the show notes for you to access that. And he's on Facebook as well. So check him out there and get signed up for him if you need some services from a physical therapist in the Denver area. And thanks. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today. And anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, and thanks for having me. Thanks for putting up with my noobishness of being on a podcast. This is not something I've done often. So thank you so much for your time, and thanks for putting up with me. And I'd love to talk more. There's so much to talk about.
Well, I do more podcasts. You'll just have to come back on again, Nick. But practice makes perfect. So, or I should say, makes it easier. So something that's possible, you can keep doing it, and it'll get easier as you go. So I think that's evident in today's conversation.
Absolutely. A prime example of that.
Right on. Well, thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
Hey, Hey there, it's Christine from the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. Would you like to be featured on this podcast and share your healthcare advocacy story? Then sign up on the Sign Up Genius link under the description of this podcast, and we'll talk soon.